What's up, fellas?
Whoa, whoa.
Hey, we got a little bit of a...
Whoa. All right.
How are you, Big Rob?
Holy cow.
Good morning.
Yeah, so, I hate that. You're right. Well, happened to me one time in a meeting where, you know, the meeting's boring, and you click on ESPN, you start reading it, and all of a sudden you forget to turn your volume off,
and
pops up, and everybody stares at you. So that's just what happened there. Okay. I was reading up a little bit on my CNN for my question.
Whammy.
Yeah.
You know, fellas, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I enjoy Sundays more than Saturdays, only because I think I'm forced to enjoy Sunday more purely because I know that it's my last day
of the
weekend.
See, I
hate like
it.
Saturday, you know, you can still have a good time. You're like, oh, you know, I still got tomorrow to do stuff. I can do this tomorrow, but Sunday, you got to make the most of it, I think.
Yeah.
True.
I don't know.
I understand that.
Yeah. How are you doing, Gus?
I'm good. Sunday for me is my relaxation day.
Yeah.
Is do absolutely the bare minimum.
Oh, yeah.
That's 100%. Me.
Right. Big Rod, how are you?
Great. Like I said, I get tomorrow morning off. Or this is kind of our off week.
Oh, you guys don't have lifting,
this
is
kind of our off week, so we actually get to sleep
in. Now we can actually advertise the Big Rod and Goose landscaping business, because we're going Monday back to our landscaping.
Yep.
Good deal.
Fun.
Quick hitting questions. What do you got, Big Rod?
I was queuing that up. So a woman was flying from Ottawa to Paris, and they had a connecting flight in Montreal. Well, her first flight got delayed, so by the time she got to Montreal, there was no flights out to Paris, so she had to stay the night. Well, also a 35-year-old man was in the same dilemma. So the airline, there was only one room left at the hotel, and they put them up, and they had a 71-year-old woman and a 35-year-old man had to share a hotel. Then they a hotel room. To make it worse, they go to the hotel and there's one bed.
Oh,
so would you be comfortable enough doing that? Your thoughts?
No, not a chance. I would probably just sleep in, like, where was, you said it was at the airport, right?
But yeah, she did say that the 35-year-old man, they brought in a couch or something. He slept on a couch.
Oh, but they did stay.
They did stay.
Oh, see, no.
See, I'd be like, no, honestly.
I would maybe put it in the bathroom, too. Maybe at least close the door and lock it, because you don't know if this guy
is at hotels in the lobby. There's always couches. I'd probably just try and pull it out.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Because at first I was like, okay, she obviously didn't or did. But no, they spent the night.
That's pretty funny.
No, not me.
Yep, not a chance.
Yeah, her daughter was not happy, though. That was, I doubt it.
Depends if, like, we were sitting in a, you know, if we're sitting in a lobby, because obviously we're delayed and we didn't know that we were going to be in the same room, and we're caught at the bar and you're having good conversation, and you become friend with them, maybe.
I was gonna say, because, you know, and I, you know, pride myself, I'm usually a pretty good judge of crazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I, you know, but then again, you never know. Yeah. So I don't know. Strange.
What do you got on tap, Gus?
Why does your nose run and your feet smell?
This is almost as bad as Big Rod's on Friday with the decomposing carcass in a car.
Well, but
why does
your it's a good
nose
question.
Run and your feet smell?
Well, gravity, obviously, for your nose.
Okay.
I mean,
but I think it's just it's referring to the English language is just a little messed up.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
That your nose runs, but your feet smell. When you run, you use your feet, and when you're smelling, you use your nose. So,
you know, I just actually got what you're.
I didn't think that
because there I was like
when you said
you,
gravity, I'm like, I don't know.
I was like, wait, your feet concept. Smell what you're.
Yeah,
that wow. I mean, a little bit more impressed with the question now, but still, just,
it's kind of like, why do you park in the driveway and drive on the parkway?
Yeah,
not bad.
It's just weird stuff like that. I thought it was intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
nice.
That's my quick hitting question.
Okay, how do you guys feel about the Bears and Packers squaring off Week 1 for back to back seasons? And not only that, this year it's on Thursday night.
Dumb and dumber. I hate Thursday night games to begin with. And why would you have a rivalry that could, and I don't think it will, have an impact, because honestly I don't have that much faith in the Packers this year. But why would you play a Week 1 game that might impact who wins the division?
Week 1 games are a straight wild card. Like, you get it.
Right.
It's a kind of similar systems always, but... Again,
right.
Week 1.
There's no prep. There's
no,
you know,
you don't have two or three games, at least one game of film to watch prior to the week. So I think it's stupid. And to make it a Thursday night game.
Thursday night football needs to just go away.
Right.
Yep.
It's just not good.
Quit making it about the money and start thinking about the players.
Unless the one thing actually we liked, we were talking when we were listening to the show, if you made it an 18-week season, not 18-game season, but then every team has two byes. Because then you should be able to, if you want to keep the Thursday nights, at least make sure those two teams have a bye before.
What was the big controversy last year? Somebody played on Thursday night and then right again on Sunday, right?
No, they played Sunday night and then
Thursday. Sunday night and then
Sunday
Thursday.
Night and Thursday. So you're flying back in, you know, Monday morning.
Yeah.
And you've got
for the
three prep days,
for the NFL, 3 days to get your body back to is just baloney.
Yeah. To get your body back to 100% after playing a professional football game, I couldn't imagine. I mean, after a college football game at the Division II level, every morning everybody was walking in, like basically covered in ice, and it took you until Monday when you're like, okay, I can finally like move, and then you had lifts. So it's horrible. Start thinking about the players' bodies. Over the money, Roger Goodell. That's just my opinion.
Not good. I'm not a huge fan of. I hate that they have to do it week one. It just bothers me. But that was Sunday Fun Day, Pac-12 preview. Yes. We got that coming. Football, not Pac-12 basketball. Had to make sure I
said that. Tennis.
Big Rod's got a nice little audio file he wants us to play here before we preview the Pac-12. So take a listen to this.
Too much turntable.
It's just atrocious.
Too much turntable, man. Awesome.
Cali, though, California, Golden Bears, Pac-12. Big Rod thought it was fitting. Kind of like it. Nice change up.
Yeah.
Get us fired up for by far the worst Power 5 conference in football. Which is
And that's what I was going to lead with, and that's why I tied that into it. So again, because obviously here in the Midwest, we don't follow the Pac-12 much. You don't see too many games.
At all.
But
really, until the Rose Bowl, that's about it.
But one of the things that really struck me when I had the opportunity to go to the All-Star game, So the All-Star game in Orlando for the Pro Bowl. But they invited all the high school coaches of every player down there. So obviously I got to talk to a lot of coaches, and I was shocked by, like, every coach had a Southern accent for the most part. Like, if they didn't have a Southern accent, I would, where are you from? Because there were so many coaches from Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Texas.
Yeah.
I was stunned at the lack of coaches from the West Coast, the West in general. Like, there was, I think I talked to two people that would even one I think was from Washington State and one from California. So I looked a little bit because you have to remember from 1973 to 1994, USC, UCLA, and Washington were in every Rose Bowl but one. So those three teams every year. Okay. And then USC had the Pete Carroll run.
Yeah.
Where he was cheating in 2007, 2009. Yep. UCLA has not sniffed the title since 94. So, you know, and I looked at that in terms of California. Because everyone recruits California. Yep. California still has the second most professional athletes that played high school football.
Who was number one? Is that Florida?
Florida is number one.
Okay.
But here's what kind of stunned me. Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois. Okay.
Yep.
So Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois have produced more NFL players, and this was the 2017 rosters, than Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming combined. So if you're not
so three states to what'd you say about eight?
About 10 on the west side. So if you take out California, so then I looked at Washington's roster, right?
Yeah.
Washington's roster is almost half kids from California. Plus, since the 2000s, California's population has shifted. Right now, California has their population is 39% Hispanic and 22% Asian, which is not a big market
for football players. Yeah. Right.
So I think that with the rise of Boise State, Fresno State, and Utah that are also now picking from California. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's, why the Pac-12 has been bad.
Is killing the California vibe type deal? Yeah.
Interesting.
So, that was just kind of a quick take on that.
I didn't realize that.
Going back to Cali, I don't think so.
I don't think so. And that's why, to be honest, I had no recollection of Utah ever winning the South
Well, last year, but they were what 6-3.
That's what I mean.
It was
like,
one of those, just, everybody was like 4-4.
I just was like, Utah.
It's just not a strong football.
You don't hear anything about that. Right. No. You know, the only reason you hear about Washington State is because Mike Leach has no filter and he's just going to tell you how it is.
Yeah.
Which is good for the Pac-12. They really need. Yeah.
Correct.
More of
I agree.
They need more of a blue collar kind of guy.
Well, and they need, you know, they need like somebody like Herm Edwards to go crazy once in a while just to get him some press.
Yeah. Seriously. Last year, the Pac-12 North winner was Washington. They went 7-2. What do you guys think about the Pac-12 North? Goose, who you got winning that?
Same winner, Washington. I think Chris Peterson, he's a really good ball coach. And like Big Rod was saying, I think they're kind of picking away at some of those California guys. And I think they'll be a pretty darn good team. But again, once they play outside of the Pac-12, I think they'll be like just overwhelmed.
Yeah. Big Rod?
I'm going to go with Oregon, but I forget I had it up here. Who's their quarterback?
Justin Herbert.
Yeah, so I think their QB, he's going to be the best in that league. I always want to kind of pull for Washington State. But I think Oregon this year gets back into it.
They win it, yep. Yeah, Big Rod, kind of tail off what you said. Part of me wants to pick Washington. I love Chris Peterson. I mean, you got to remember what he did at Boise State, mm-hmm. kind of when he kind of came onto the scene. From what the research I did, because clearly I'm not a Pac-12 guy or a Washington fan, but from what I did nothing yesterday but researches.
Yeah.
But to me, it looks like they have quite a bit of turnover and lost a lot as mm-hmm. far as Washington. And they got to remember, they lost their most prolific and decorated passer and quarterback in Jake Browning, who led that team for the last 3 years when Washington won the conference. Yeah. To me, that's just a lot to lose, I think. So, I'm taking Oregon. They bring back a ton of experience. Like you said, Big Rod, Heisman Trophy candidate, Justin Herbert. Probably one of the top quarterbacks drafted next year in the NFL draft. Oregon brings back two sophomore running backs who combined for 2,138 rushing and receiving yards. Four of last year's top five receivers, 150 in their offensive line, who has 153 total starts.
Wow.
So, pretty good numbers. They bring back a secondary, all of their entire defensive line secondary as well. So Oregon's loaded, like you said, Big Rob. Maybe
so too. This,
maybe their run
is their year.
Yeah, okay. Get back to where they were. The Pac-12 South last year, like I said, was Utah, who went 6-3. Again, I didn't hear Jack about that. I didn't even know Utah sold a football program, to be honest with you. No, I'm just playing. Big Rod, who do you got winning the South?
I think Arizona is gonna. You know, I think Kevin Sumlin. I think he struggled at times, but their quarterback Khalil Tate is a dual threat, awesome athlete. And I think today, I think this year, they were so hot and cold last year with a lot of the Pac-12 schools. I think this year Arizona gets it together under Sumlin, and I think they'll do okay.
I like Sumlin.
I think I see them.
Big Sumlin fan.
Yep.
Goose, who you got?
I'm pretty bland here today, but I'm sticking with Utah. I know. I'm not really stretching, but I just don't think there's going to be much shift, like you guys are saying. I think Utah is kind of like what we were saying about Mike Leach, where Kyle Whittingham or whatever.
Yeah, Kyle Whittingham, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the very finesse-dominant type of league, as we were talking about, and mm-hmm. I think he creates an aggressive and tough type of football team. So okay. I think they'll rise up to be number one in the South and have a better year than 6-3 last year.
Nice. I'm taking Herm Edwards in Arizona State. Big Herm fan. Right.
Wow.
I think Herm kind of got the raw end of the deal. He kind of came in and everyone kind of just bashed on him because, you know, he hasn't coached in forever and mm-hmm. came off of a long stint on TV. But when Herm Edwards was in the NFL, he was a run-heavy play defense coach. You know, that was his philosophy. It's not sexy and fun to watch, especially like in today's age of football.
And especially in the conference.
But it'll win you football games. They're super young on defense. From last year, they had a freshman-heavy linebacking core in Merlin Robertson and Darian Butler, who combined for 115.5 tackles, 16.5 for loss. And they have a sophomore corner and freshman safety serving as their best playmakers in the secondary. Arizona State last year ranked 28th in marginal explosiveness. I think that
I don't know what that is, but it sounds good.
Sounds good.
But you take
explosiveness.
That, you take that.
I like extreme explosiveness.
Bring that back with a really young, young and more experienced defense. I think they're going to win football games. So okay. I'm taking Arizona State.
Okay, I like that pick.
Yep.
We always do our top five coaches in the conference. We're going to do like we always do. We go five around and work our way up. Big Rod, number five.
I'm going to go with the combination of Herm Edwards, Mike Leach, and Chip Kelly. Okay. You know, kind of guys in their second or third stint. But I really think Chip Kelly is kind of made for UCLA. I think I honestly think he will do well eventually. You know, and Hearn, like you just said, I think Arizona State, it's a wide open conference. They could win that. And like Mike Leach, just personally, I just like to listen to him.
Yep.
Yeah. Goose, who's five?
I'm going off of last team I said to win the South. Kyle Whittingham. I think again, like I just talked about, he's making a tough guy type of team in Utah, and I think with their new uniforms and everything, they'll recruit well and
hopefully.
Yeah, no, I like Kyle Whittingham as my number five.
I got Kevin Sumlin at five from Arizona. It's his second season there. You know, I love what he did at A&M. I think he did a really good job there, so I'm interested to see what he does in the Pac-12. But as of right now, he hasn't obviously done much, so he's a little lower on my board. I do want to agree with Big Rod. One of them, my favorite coaches watching the game back in the day, we were talking about Oregon's heyday, was Chip Kelly.
Yep.
So I'm rooting for him, but he's not quite there yet. Goose, number four.
Number four is my Chip Kelly. I think he's perfect for UCLA, as Big Rod was saying. You know, he went 46-7 with three Pac-12 titles and a trip to the national championship in 4 years at Oregon.
Yeah, that's
so.
Yeah.
I think he knows his stuff. He just got to get the right guys at UCLA now.
Yeah,
Big Rod. I think he's a very smart coach.
I do too.
I have Kevin Sumlin, like you said, okay. Arizona. I think he'll get things going there. And like I said, I think he will do well.
Okay, I have Mike Leach, Washington State.
Okay.
I think he's a great football coach. You know, he had a great stint at Texas Tech before he landed in Washington State. I root for them just because, like I said, I agree with a lot of what Mike Leach says as far as, you know, the college football playoffs concerned and all that. So I like Mike Leach at four. Big Rod, who you got at number three?
Number three, I have Whittingham from Utah. Like I said, that's, you know, it's a tough place to win it. You have to go into California and recruit, and you're recruiting, you know, you could be recruiting a Los Angeles kid to go play in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a tough sell. Although, for some reason, Utah has a lot of the Samoans in that, right?
Yeah. They do, yeah. You
know? So, I'm not sure how that pipeline started. I know they do get a lot of them. So, yeah, I think what he's done at Utah and built them into a pretty consistent contender is pretty impressive. Yeah.
Goof? Number three.
Oh, number three, Mike Leach. I think, he's a good coach, but the way he leads makes him a top five guy. I think he's going to be a good leader, and I want to go have a beer with him.
Yeah, I would love that. Is he? You think he's a Bush Light guy? What do you think he drinks out over there?
I think he is. I think he's a cheap beer.
Yeah, he's got to be a cheap beer guy.
Okay. I have Herm Edwards, Arizona State. Like I mentioned, I think a lot of people treated Edwards as kind of a joke when he came back and took over Arizona State. But I disagree. You look at his body of work in his first year. He gave Arizona State a winning season with marquee victories over Michigan State, USC, Utah, and Arizona. That's pretty hard to do in your first year as head coach, especially against rivals and stuff. So I like Herm. One of my faves. I always liked watching him on ESPN and talk NFL. So I'm pulling for the guy. Big Rod, number two.
I have Peterson from Washington. You know, he won at Boise State. Really, he created Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably been the most consistent program Peterson has at Washington. And I think he just has adjusted well to the game and to his talent. Like what he ran at Boise State, where he had to, you know, use a little more smoke and mirrors, where now at Washington, they're just, every year they're going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. I have Peterson as well at number two. I think, you know, in his two seasons of rebuilding at Washington or whatever, he is 32-9 with two Pac-12 championships.
Yeah, I've got Peterson too.
Oh, yeah, he went to the
College Football Playoff.
Yeah,
he lost to Alabama in the Peach Bowl, but he's won the Pac-12 two out of the last four seasons. So, mm-hmm. Like you said, Big Rod, that's a good track record. It's pretty impressive. I'm going to assume, actually, based process of elimination here, we all have the same number one.
Shaw?
Yeah.
David Shaw, Stanford?
Yep. Because a lot of people, when Harbaugh left Stanford, they thought that program would fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And again, like you know, like Northwestern winning at Stanford, you've got a, you know, you've got a special breed of mm-hmm. kid that you can recruit. And,
I love that
Stanford and Northwestern are both relevant in the football world.
Right. Yeah. David Shaw's won three conference championships at Stanford, and two of those came during, like we talked about, the Chip Kelly era at Oregon, which was impressive. You know, the one thing that I love about David Shaw is he's always rumored to be on the move to the NFL.
Yeah.
Yes, but never leaves. Kind of like Your boy Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
He became the first Stanford coach in 80 years to win 3 conference titles and only the 3rd ever in program history after their title in 2015.
Wow.
So that's impressive. And like I said, for him to always be rumored to be on the move and for him to stay and continue to do what he does, impressive.
I just love the consistency that he has.
Absolutely.
Always at Stanford, they're consistently good, and he does it with a brutal running dominant offense.
Yes.
In the Pac-12.
Right.
And just consistent defense. I love how consistent.
You look at
he
some of the running
always.
Backs he's produced. I mean, you have Bryce Love, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah,
their
Sanders,
their style
Sanders,
of play.
Son.
Yeah,
you know,
Stanford. I love the way they play.
Absolutely,
it's kind of
like
defense.
The Cardinal, which isn't actually a Cardinal. I love that too.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's a tree. The mascot's a tree. Huh. I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's a cardinal tree.
No, I don't think there is actually.
It's just
Cardinal's a color.
Yeah, it's just
it
the
is
color.
A color. But why is it a tree?
Well, that's like why is a Crimson Tide and that elephant? That's
there true. Is actually a story behind that, and I don't remember what it is. Something.
Okay.
Well, it's against Auburn,
back
wasn't
in the day,
it?
Yeah. I forget what the story was. Anyway, Goose and I were watching some. We're going to talk NFL here.
I just have to. When you Google why does Stanford, the first thing that pops up is have a tree as a mascot.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And then the next one is have a low acceptance rate.
Oh
wow.
That's awesome.
Whoever looked that question up, that's why.
That's why, yeah. NFL is on. It's almost football season, and it's got me all fired up. I was watching a bunch of Bears stuff. They were at training camp yesterday and today. First day of full pads, by the way, Goose, for the Bears. So it just got me thinking about a lot of the NFL headlines, a lot of the NFL buzz going around as of late. I have an interesting thing I want to talk about, and it was on ESPN. I thought over or under 2.5 career MVPs for Patrick Mahomes. I want to see what you guys say and see what you think.
I'm going to say under, just because that class of QBs, along with everybody else kind of coming up right now. But he'll have a Drew Brees type of deal where he'll have 3 seasons where you could argue he could win MVP, but someone else is doing something just as good, but it's their first time doing it.
Okay.
Because Drew Brees has been caught in a terrible era of quarterbacks
right,
where he's overlooked in the MVP race, but he's always been one of the best, if not the best, each season.
Yeah.
So.
Big Rod, what do you think?
Under.
Under?
Yeah. I mean, and I was going to, unless you want me to jump ahead to the third bullet point, but I could save kind of my argument.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I was going to say under 2. I know Bill, our brother, always calls me a Mahomes hater. I'm not a Mahomes hater. I just think there's a lot of hype around him. But if you look at just history at the NFL, there's only been 5 players ever to win it. And if you look at the over, it's going to be 3, right? So you're counting on him winning 3 MVPs. Only 5 players in NFL history have ever won 3 or more. So I just think it's, like you said, Gus, with a lot of talented people, it's just, to me, it's unlikely.
Yep.
3 years from now, guys, we're going to predict something. Goose is a big, you guys are both big defensive guys.
Yep.
Love to watch good players. Who's the best NFL defender in 2022?
No question, Roquan Smith.
Big Rod?
A defensive lineman that went to college in Alabama or Clemson.
Okay. Well, in the NFL draft, wasn't all 8 of each team's linemen, like, so there's 4 from Clemson that was first round, and
something
I think
like that,
3 from Alabama that all
I know
first
everyone,
round.
Every one of their D linemen were drafted.
Was first
I think
round.
At first,
it was.
I'm also a big Roquan believer, but Darius Leonard from the Colts, I don't know if you guys know who that is or watched him play, but he's incredible. He's a lot like Roquan, so I think he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler every year.
Yep.
He was
Roquan is going to be in the Hallis Hall of Fame with right next to Ditka, Urlacher.
That's bold.
Singletary.
All right.
Okay.
Those 4.
Big Rod, I mentioned you had some talk, but last year was the year of offensive explosion. You had the Rams, you had the Chiefs.
That game was
You could argue.
I wanted to cry.
You could argue the Bears had a pretty potent offense. But anyway, that was the headline. Everyone talked about it. That was the buzz. 2019 will be the year of what, fellas? Go ahead, Big Rod, take it away.
All right. Well, with the draft, with the infusion of young offensive-minded coaches, every defensive coordinator in the NFL was sitting around this offseason figuring out things to do with mobile, small quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to figure out a way to knock them around. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said Patrick Mahomes will be under. Baker Mayfield is in for a treat this year because their teams are going to be ready. And oh, yeah. So I don't know. You have to remember, so Chip Kelly, is speaking of Chip Kelly in the Pac-12, his first year when he came out of Philadelphia, he was 10-6.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of took the NFL by storm. So what did the NFL defensive coaches do? They all sat down with college coaches. Mm-hmm. All right, what do you do to stop this? And all of a sudden, their production in by year three was like rock bottom. So I'm not saying it's going to be immediately 2019, but defenses will always find an answer. And I feel that in 2019 will be the year that some of these highly touted small mobile quarterbacks are going to struggle.
Yep. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Kyler Murray who he's coming in at this point. Like, if he came in last year.
But if it wasn't for Mahomes, he would have never been the number one pick.
This has probably been the most exciting.
He would have been more like Russell Wilson.
Yep.
This has probably been the most exciting offseason for every defensive coordinator because they get to learn stuff.
Oh, yeah, because they're picking everybody's
pick. Yep. Yep.
What do you think, Gus? What's your?
Oh, it's defense all the way.
You think?
I think it's your defense and takeaways. Because the young mobile guys are going to throw a lot of picks. I think that there will be headlines about why are there so many interceptions in the NFL right now.
And if you look at everybody on the Rams schedule, how many times do you think those coaches have watched the Super Bowl?
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, I bet they have broken down every play of that Super Bowl.
Bill Belichick completely. I could tell you this. I think he looked ahead of week two, or he was almost game planning for weeks the Rams.
Well, and then, too, we had kind of talked about that game, you could tell from their offensive game plan that Belichick knew the Rams weren't going to score.
Their first drive, didn't they line up in I formation?
Yes. They were very conservative.
I remember the announcer saying, wow, fullback in the NFL. Feel like he's disappeared.
But, so you could tell the way he called that offensively that he was like, they're not going to score on us.
Sure. Yeah, you got to get us
as a matter three of fact,
out, or we're driving for 6 minutes, and then you go ahead and try and score.
It was 13-3, right?
Yep.
The final score.
13-3.
Okay, I thought it was 6 for some reason.
Nope.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think, speaking of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I think the headline is going to be the continued dominance and head-scratching tactics of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
All right.
I think like it.
Patriots are going to lose 5 or 6 games, and everyone's going to go bonkers and be like, oh, my God.
It's over.
Tom Brady's done. Belichick's done. Here's what I think, fellas. Patriots lose a few games. I think one for sure in Week 17 in Miami because they don't ever beat Miami. They always throw one. They'll drop a couple in the middle of the season to someone like the Redskins in Week 5 and the Bengals in Week 15 because, like we talk about all the time, Bill's going to keep things super vanilla. He's not going to want to show anything close to playoff time.
Especially to teams that aren't going to scare him in the playoffs or Super Bowl.
He also might want to give someone like the Bengals and Redskins a win.
Well, Patriots always have one of those losses.
Because both those teams are going to be awful.
Yeah.
I think it's people are going to continue to be like, talk about Tom Brady and Belichick because – everyone thinks, like Big Rob mentioned in the last podcast, that people think they're going to hit a wall here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think they're charging into this next year, too?
I think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I like that.
And Tom's going to go out on top with the most ever. Bell's going to go out on top with the most. I mean, I think that's what it is.
Story continues.
Yep. Anybody got a Bears whiteboard? He's not here again today.
I got one, too.
Okay. Well, I've just – the Stanford has no official mascot, like we said, because because its cardinal is the vivid red color, so it's not the bird. But the tree is a member of the Stanford band, and it represents of El Palo Alto, the redwood tree, which is the logo of the city of Palo Alto, where Stanford's located. Oh. So that's the tree.
So he's technically a member of the band?
Yes, the tree was a member of the band.
Okay.
And the band is on the field. I don't think he was on the field, though. The tree, I don't think, was on there.
No.
You see if he had run into the tree.
What do you got?
I saw this video today of an AAU basketball game of Bronny James, and LeBron was warming up with him doing alley-oops to himself and dunking. What are your thoughts about that? Like it or hate it?
You're LeBron James. You can do whatever you want.
This is true, but, like, what if I was out there with my kid while he's warming up? If I could dunk. But you know what I mean? If I'm out there warming up, taking some fadeaway jump shots,
But you're not LeBron.
I know. I'm just saying, still, at the end of the day, you are his father.
You're a parent. Yeah. Me, personally, I love LeBron, but I get it. You can dunk, and you're LeBron James, but...
I have no problem with it.
Okay.
You're LeBron James.
I do have a problem with it. Come on, Dad.
Yeah.
Bronny
was the guy that had to catch the ball after the dunk to go to the other line. So I'd be like, fuck. This guy. Give me the ball, Dad. Get out.
Wow. All right, fellas. Sunday fun day. Brewers play today. Walk off last night. Keston Hiura, Gus, and I saw it. It was actually pretty awesome.
I called it. Yeah. I called it first.
I don't know.
Jake tweeted it out, but I called
it. Matt LaPay calling every sport for Wisconsin is probably the best thing that's ever happened to the state. Did you hear the call, Big Rob?
No, I did not.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. What'd you think, Big Rod?
That's nice.
I love it.
Matt LaPay. There's nothing still better, than the Badger.
Touchdown, Wisconsin! Wow. I love that.
I love Matt LaPay. And actually, gives a run for Gus Johnson's money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know, man. But he needs to be. I think it's just because he's too out of control that people don't have him on there anymore. Because he was awesome. March Madness with him calling it was the best.
Oh, I know. I miss that.
It was on True TV. Yep.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. All right, fellas. Sunday fun day. Get out. Have a good day, huh?
Yep.
All right. See what happens. All right. We'll see you guys next Friday, right?
Yep.
All right. See ya.